Thank you, Janie. Thank you, ladies. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as thy word is read and proclaimed, help us to open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes to us today from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Please listen to and for the word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sins shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be married to their mistress' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and I'll read this a little closer. Shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. And our scripture lesson comes to us today from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 23. Again, please listen to and for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is this Messiah was to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring the word so that I may also go and pay homage to him." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of him went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he learned from the wise men. Then it was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because there are no more." Then when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As a little bit more way of introduction, you all can read my biography that I gave Shannon. One of my other claims to fame is that I happen to be the drummer in the Jim Morgan jazz group. And you look and you say, "Oh yeah, he's that guy." Yeah, I'm the one back in the back just trying to hold down the fort while Jim Morgan goes off with his right hand and does whatever he does. Dave and I try to hold down the fort. Another biographical thing is I am a soccer referee. So if you've had children, grandchildren involved in the soccer program here in Scotland County, chances are I have refereed their matches. And some of them are sitting on the back row back there. And I told your dad earlier, because he was giving me a hard time about something. I said, "You know, Dan, I still have time. I can go back and get my cards there at the house." But I will not be pulling out my cards today. So anyway, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for being asked. And as I've already indicated, you know, I'm good to go. You know, Janie could have gone on and on, because I've got Shannon's bread, and so, you know, I'm happy. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. So, Happy New Year! It's okay, you can say it. Now, you know, it may be we want to say it a little quietly, because there may be some who have some of New Year's Eve left over. Probably not in this crowd. But again, Happy New Year. Title of our lesson today. Let me ask you, have you ever been in an emergency situation where you were told you had to leave where you were and you had to seek shelter somewhere else? You know, you see it on the news, folks living out in the West fleeing fires. Now they're fleeing floods. But you see these cars traveling on the road where there's fire on both sides of the road. How do they escape? How do they get out of there? So how can they seek safety? The warning has been issued. Get your belongings, like Janie was talking about. Get your belongings. Get out now. Sometimes you don't even have 10 minutes, ladies, as Janie was indicating. A flood's coming. A wall of water. We see this on the news. A wall of water. Time to seek higher ground. No time to waste. There is no warning. It's happening. So, tornado sirens blare in the middle of the night. Get to a shelter immediately. Now, don't wait. Go. Have y'all ever been through that? I have. I'm originally from Missouri, and we have tornadoes. Siren goes off, boom, you get out of the house. We have had basements, storm shelters to get to. No questions asked, just go. You don't have time to look for Peanut. Peanut's going to be okay. He'll figure out where, you know, where he needs to be for shelter. But that's what I'm talking about. Evacuate immediately. No questions asked. We've heard of towns, particularly a while back, Mayfield, Kentucky. I remember hearing about them. Town leveled, destroyed. Was there warning? Yeah, there was some warning. And so at least people had an opportunity to seek shelter, whether it's the bathroom, the basement, wherever. At least there was some warning and most of the time lives are spared because of that. So, if you followed all of this, you'll understand some of what Joseph is going through in our story today. Jesus is born, star over the stable, angels singing, shepherds come, wise men bearing gifts. It's all very exciting. Then Joseph is visited by an angel. He has a visitation that he has this vision, the angel telling Joseph, get up, take his little family, and leave quickly. Go to Egypt. Don't ask questions. Just go. You see, this is another angel visitation. First time, the angel told him to take Mary as his wife. She would bear him a son, and his name would be Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And so Joseph did as he was directed, by taking Mary as his wife, traveling to Bethlehem. Everything the angel said would happen did, in fact, come true. So here's another visit by an angel with explicit instructions to protect Joseph and Mary and their child, Jesus. He follows the instructions and leaves and goes to Egypt. You see, when an angel tells you to do something, you do it. You don't ask questions, you do it. So see, Joseph knew full well the story of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary and instructing her as to what was happening with the Holy Spirit and what would happen with Jesus' birth. If an angel tells you to do something, you can believe it. So Joseph also knew the story the shepherds told of the angel visiting them out in their fields. The angel said that they would find the Christ child in a manger and this stable, and sure enough, it was exactly as the angel had described. So if an angel tells you what's going to happen, then you know it's going to happen. The wise men, the magi, the astrologers followed the star that appeared, went to Jerusalem to find the child. Herod the king assembled the chief priests, the scribes, and asked, "Where is this Christ child to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." So let's review for just a minute what's said in Matthew 2, verses 6 through 8. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who will govern my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him lying in this manger, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him as well." So the three kings went to Bethlehem, presented the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and then the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. He wished to do the Christ child harm, as he would do any rival. Well, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. So all three wise men had the same dream? Have y'all ever had the same dream as anybody else? I didn't think so. Now, some of you, you know, Shannon and Dan, I know you're living the dream, but that's not what I'm talking about. Having the same dream as someone else. Curtis and Minnie, I know y'all are living the dream, but have y'all ever had the same dream? Wake up next morning and say, "Let me tell you about my dream." And Curtis says, "Yeah, I had it." No, it hadn't happened, has it? So, another miracle, if you will, and a pretty good one. All three wise men had this same dream. So, have any of y'all ever been visited by an angel that you knew was an angel? Well, I haven't either, to my knowledge. But if you have, I mean, that's great. But most people haven't. So, you see, let's think for just a minute. What about the Holy Spirit? Now we may be onto something. Stop and think about that for just a minute. You've ever been faced with a decision, not sure what to do, left or right, whatever? Then an idea comes into your head, and it makes the decision so much easier. 99% of the times out of 100, probably 100 out of 100, that decision you make is the right decision. It's the right thing to do. That's the decision. Do the right thing. I submit to you that God is working through the Holy Spirit to guide us in our decision-making process. So see, God gives us the knowledge to make intelligent decisions. God also gives us the free will to make the decision for ourselves. That free will also allows us to make the wrong decision. See, God loves us so much, He gives us this free will, but we have the ability to make the wrong decision. There's certainly consequences for the choices that we make, aren't there? Whether they're good or bad. Well, in this story, we have Herod. He certainly represents the response of the unbeliever to the news of the coming of the Messiah. He wants to know about it, but is not interested enough himself to go out 4.5 miles to find this child, to see for himself. In fact, he is more concerned with the presence that the Christ child will interfere with his power. You see, it was about Herod and his power, with his position, with Herod's position, and with his lifestyle. The world is filled with people who, like Herod, who want to know, but are not actually out looking for the one who will save them from themselves and their sins. But here come the wise men. That's the focus of our story today. The primary application would call for the identification of these men. In other words, their way of faith is God's promise of a Savior and finding it in Jesus Christ. You see, this submits to Him, they submit to Him, and worship Him, the Christ child, even though they may not be clear yet how it will all work out. He had just been born, but they came and worshiped Him. Over and over again, the gospel will call for faith. As the passage unfolds, it will be clear that the faith in Jesus will be well founded. For the past few minutes, we've been talking about a time to go. Leaving in a hurry. Go somewhere. Leave the situation behind. Now, I'm going to turn the tables for just a minute. The chief priests and the scribes were quick to provide Herod with the information that he wanted, the answer to his question, which was in Bethlehem. But did they act on the decision that they gave Herod? No. Did they leave to go to find the Christ child? No. Did they even go to Bethlehem? Again, 4.5 miles. They knew what the scripture said, but they did not go. They were the authorities. They were the teachers. But they apparently did not believe enough in what had been foretold to go and see the child at the stable for themselves. Some of these same priests, if you'll recall, are the same ones who wanted to put Jesus to death. So, consider the wise men. They invested time, money, dangerous travel, great risk to go and worship the Christ child. That's right, they go. Their faith was such that they went to see the foretold Messiah. They believed in Christ, though they'd never seen Him. When they did see Him, All they saw was a little child on his mother's knee. When they did see him, they knew without any other evidence that they saw the star, and they knew that they had reached their destination. They didn't need anybody else persuading them. They knew because they went there on faith. That same faith that we're expected to have today. What about us today? You see, we have the knowledge in our head. We know the truth, but do we have the grace in our hearts to act on it? As the title of another title to today's message could have been Time to Leave, that implies that are we leaving something, getting out of a situation, or, as we say, it's time to leave, escape, also implies that we are ready to leave and go to what's ready to happen next. Do we have the faith of the wise men to go out on our own using our faith to worship God? Christians won't attend a gospel meeting or a second service on a Sunday or speak to others about their faith, their belief in Jesus Christ. Have y'all ever heard of the 1045ers? Don't know who the 1045ers are? Okay, a 1045er is someone who, or several someones perhaps, who show up for church every Sunday, 1045. They're there every Sunday. Sit in the pew, they're faithful, they're there, they give, they tithe, and then after church, they're gone. And not seen again until, what? 1045, the next Sunday. They're faithful as can be. Well, you see, what happens outside of these walls? We can sit in here and we can talk with each other all day. We also have the magic of radio to reach another audience. But for those of you listening in your homes or perhaps in your cars today on the radio, what do you do next? What do you do next? Do you just tune in at 10:45 if you want, or 11 o'clock on Sundays on the radio? But what happens at 12 when all this is over? What do you do? Do you go out and tell the story of Jesus Christ? Do you? Or do you live it? Do you live what's in your heart? Quick story about me. Some of you may know I used to work for the winery there in Wager many years ago. And one Saturday, I know it's about wine, so just calm down. We'll get there, I promise. So one Saturday, I happened to be working the tasting room by myself. These four people came in, sat at the bar there, and wanted to do a tasting. So I started with them. Well, a few minutes later, two more, and then two more, and then six more. All of a sudden, I kind of have a full tasting room, and it's just me by myself. Well, what I tried to do is each person came in. Hey, how you doing? Be with you in a minute. They'd smile, and so then I'd go wait on them, and I'm walking my way around. And so about 10 or 15 minutes after the place was absolutely full, one of the guys sitting at the bar, one of that original group, looks at me, and he asked me, you're a Christian, aren't you? Well, I was absolutely dumbfounded. And I didn't pull a Peter. I promise I didn't. I said, well, yes, I am. Why would you ask me a question like that here in the winery? What made you ask me that? He said, I can tell. It's because of how you treat people. You see, you can be a 1045er, and it's okay. It's all right. We're glad you're here. You can listen at 11 and turn off the radio at 12. That's fine. We're glad you're out there. But what do you do outside of these walls? What happens in your everyday life? Amen.